Caffeine Spires, back with another week of Smart Health. Before we get into the show, I wanted to thank our two newest Patreon subscribers, Gabe Bullard and Rachel Barth. Thank you both so much. And if anyone else wants to help us out on Patreon, I've actually just added a new level. It's really good for nosy people. So if you want to go check that out, that's at patreon.com/smartmouthpodcast. Now on to the show. Our guests this week are a couple of really cute calico kittens. Their names are Mimi and Dot. Also, they're human, Georgia Hartstark. Hi, Georgia.
Hey, I love that intro. I am their human.
Well, they are being so adorable. Do they know that this is like podcasting time?
They know that they get treats a lot up here.
Ah, they're so smart.
They are smart.
Even Mimi's being nice to me.
I know. She's usually, I don't know. Wow. She's a lot.
She is a lot. She's adorable. My goodness. So I feel like anyone who listens to podcasts is familiar with the two cats, and I guess also George. She is the co-host of My Favorite Murder. A lot of you have heard of it. How did you get into doing My Favorite Murder?
I mean, really just my constant need to have projects because of anxiety. And so when Karen and I kind of first started hanging out as friends, like pretty quickly realized, you know, we were both really into true crime. And I was just like, let's do a podcast about this.
Amazing.
And she was like, okay. And we did it. And then that happened. It was just like such low production value all around. And yeah.
I love that though. Cause that's such a like, do what you're passionate about and it won't feel like work.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people love what you're doing, which is so cool.
Yeah. And it's really funny, and I'm lucky. I love it.
So the whole time that I've known you, I actually didn't know anything about the true crime stuff, but I knew that you were super into food and always cooking like baked goods and stuff like that, because where I lived, we had weekly potlucks during Lost
potlucks.
Yes, exactly.
I miss those so much.
So do I. And I feel like there hasn't been a TV show since then really that had that same kind of vibe where you could have a bunch of people over.
Well, there also isn't like, we just like don't have weekly shows anymore, really.
Also true.
You know?
Yes, that is absolutely true.
And you live with Jonah Ray, who's like Mr. Social.
Yeah.
So he can be like, come over for this thing. And it's just some dumb thing and people will bring it.
That is true.
Yeah.
People flock to him.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, those were so fun.
They were so much fun.
I feel like they kind of saved my life in some weird ways.
Really?
Because I was going through a big breakup and I was really scared and didn't have a lot of friends in LA because I just moved back. And then those started happening and they were like my weekly social time. And it just was really this, like I felt like a community all of a sudden, like part of this thing.
That's awesome.
I love it. Yeah. Aww. And I got to cook every week.
So yeah, exactly. And I remember you doing like cookies and cupcakes and a lot of sweet stuff.
Exactly.
Another thing that you like is alcohol. And it was funny because I asked you, as I always do, like what some of your favorite foods were. And you listed a bunch of foods and then also happy hour.
That's what I said. I recently like got a personal trainer because I can't get my ass to the gym.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, well, so what are the kinds of food, you know, nutritional shit? And I'm like, oh, I don't know what else to say other than happy hour. Like, I love nachos. I love fucking happy hour food. Whatever's on a happy hour menu, including alcohol, is my favorite food.
That is so, I love that you have that. And also, your father has a term that you have since used since then.
Mm-hmm.
And every time, like seriously, when I like think your name in my head, I also think that phrase.
It's bigger dummies than you?
No, the one about happy hour.
Oh. Okay. Nice little happy hour.
Yes. It's like almost like in my head, it's George, a nice little happy hour.
Nice little, my dad, like we say it in my dad's voice, like Vince and I love happy hour. We say it and, oh, they got a nice little happy hour. That's how he says it. Oh, they have a nice little happy hour. They have, and then he explains what's on the happy hour menu. I don't even think he drinks that much. It's really just like a bargain food thing and a way to check out a restaurant.
Well, what's funny is that it seems like that's very American of him, because the reason why happy hour in particular is so American is because people love a deal.
Yeah.
Like this is one of those things that can't be like a proven fact, but all the like people who study like the psychology of culture and stuff like that, they're like, Americans love a deal. You tell them it's 2-for-1 from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. It's limited. It means you think you're smart because you're getting a deal by going to this place. It's such an American concept.
I agree. That totally makes sense to me. I mean, I like going to happy hours. There's like a really nice restaurant I want to check out, mm-hmm. but don't want to go there and drop $150 yes. bucks on dinner.
Yeah.
And also, I don't like always want that formal sit down dinner thing. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll see if they have happy hour, and then you can try like some little stuff from there and not spend a ton of money and know if you want to go back and spend more money.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. I think that makes so much more sense. Yeah. Plus, like recently when we went to Tam O'Shanter mm-hmm. during like a happy hour and we got like little nibbles.
Yeah.
I more and more cannot deal with like a plate of meat. I don't yeah. care for that.
Like that being the like main thing.
Yeah.
I don't even think I like entrees anymore. Mm-hmm. I think I just want to fucking eat. I've always really want to try a bunch of different things.
Yes.
This is why it drives me crazy when I go to dinner with someone and they want to order the same thing as me.
That's so pointless.
Why would you do that?
Yeah.
That's exactly. the most boring fucking thing in the world.
Exactly.
So I want to order like 8 different appetizers and mm-hmm. a couple of sides and mm-hmm. you know.
I love eating like that too. And it's a little bit like you're telling the chef, you're like, dazzle me.
Yeah. Show me. Yeah. Show me what you've got.
What can you
Which
do?
Which is why fucking tapas restaurants are my
Those are fun too.
My jam.
Those used to be so trendy in LA. There's fewer of them.
Because they were douchey too.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one video? There's like this really funny video of where this couple goes and sits down at a tapas restaurant and the waitress tells them what about it in the most funny way of like, now everything is good for 2 people except for 1 dish on the menu that's enormous and I'm not going to tell you which one it is. Just like that shit. It's really funny.
That really, I really feel that in my soul because mm-hmm. I can't tell how snobby I'm being with this opinion.
Okay.
When you go to a restaurant and they're like, have you dined with us before?
Yes. Why do you care?
Well, I've eaten at a restaurant.
I got asked that the other day at Langer's Deli.
What?
Which doesn't, like, what are they going to tell me?
Seriously.
But is there some secret?
So the sandwiches are big.
Yeah. I was just like, I always say yes, even when I haven't.
Because you don't want the whole monologue.
Because I don't care. And yeah. I shouldn't do that, but.
You might, though, because sometimes when they're explaining to me, when they're like, and over here we have pizzas, and they're pointing to the section of the menu that says pizzas, I'm like, yeah, okay, come on.
Down.
Yeah.
I know. Or when they have, Elvis might step directly on your computer.
Just That's okay.
FYI. Okay. When they have a section that says the specials of the day, mm-hmm. and then the chef, the waiter then repeats word for word what's on the fucking menu in front of you you're like, why are you doing this
you
to
don't
me?
Need it, especially if they do that and then also don't tell you the price.
Dude,
it's like, that's the one thing I needed to know.
When they tell me, I'm like, because no one wants to be like, and how much is that?
No, but it's like, on principle,
it's fine.
Yeah
I've been with someone who has asked and I'm like, that didn't sound too bad.
Yeah. Okay. It's totally fine. Yeah. Especially if it's like a rich person asking, and you're like, see, we're not even asking because we're poor.
Yeah.
We just want information.
Yeah. Fucker. Market price? What about market price?
I
Fuck
know.
You,
what
market
does that
price.
Mean?
Tell me.
Help. So, happy hour as we, I think, well, we do have some listeners in other countries, so maybe I should define it.
Okay.
It's just sort of like when a restaurant or a bar is like, if you come here at a certain time.
Right. Usually early when there's not a rush.
Mm-hmm. I have noticed lately that there's a lot more of like the late night happy
hours.
Yeah,
I've noticed that too.
Yeah, like places, because I feel like more places are serving food because Americans have become so much more into food.
Right.
But like after 10 p.m., maybe people don't buy it as much.
Yeah.
Like if you come after 10 or whatever, we'll give you half off.
I always want to do that, but I'm such a fucking homebody tired old person that I never get to a late night happy hour.
Well, that's why you can go to the regular happy hour.
That's why I go that's why I go to a nice little happy hour at 5 o'clock and get the fucking early bird shit like my dad.
You are so ready to be old, which is great.
Oh yeah, I guess that's true.
It's not gonna be a problem for you.
I'm only 37 and I'm like, I'm the oldest.
No, I really think it's gonna be a good thing.
Yeah.
Because you're not gonna have like a freak out. You're gonna be like, I love going to bed early.
I've always figured that your 40s are like the best time.
Yeah.
Like people keep thinking, a lot of my friends and who are in their 30s mm-hmm. are like, think they have to get everything done right now and have be done by their 40s with like marriage and kids and a successful career. When I'm like, no, you're going to be so much smarter in your 40s.
Well, you know what? I'm going to go with your theory because I haven't done anything yet. So
you're working your ass off now so you can then, it'll be easier in your 40s.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully. We'll see.
All right.
I would say that like drinking certain things at certain times of the day, that's kind of a universal. Like, yeah, coffee in the morning, it changes by country, but that's a thing,
sure,
that everyone understands.
So does it freak you out when you see someone like during the day having a glass of red wine?
Interesting. Like white wine is more like,
white wine's fine, rosé is fine. Red wine to me, I'm like, oh no.
I hadn't thought about that because it's like heavier.
Yeah, it's like nighttime wine.
Interesting. I love stuff like that. Everyone makes up their own little rules, yeah, and regulations about food.
Totally.
That's really good. Dim sum, obviously, mm-hmm, has been super popular in Southeast Asia for centuries. Mm-hmm. And that's like snacks with the tea, and that's a daytime thing. Mm-hmm. So I would say that like the idea of happy hour isn't anything that can be pointed to as like it was invented here,
right,
there. It's just kind of like, yeah, you drink this thing at a certain time of day.
Yeah.
So there was a French doctor. His name was Pierre Ordinaire.
Shut up.
I know. I kind of don't believe it.
That's a made up name.
I know, which means ordinary rock if you translate
no.
it. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So in the late 1700s, he moved to Switzerland, the part that speaks French. I think he must have been escaping the revolution. And while he was there, he either created a botanical liqueur called absinthe.
Oh, okay.
Or he just was like, oh, this is a thing that we can market in the big city and these country bumpkins don't know that.
Okay. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
one of the two.
Like they always drank it.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what it is, right?
Probably. Yeah. Probably. Yeah. So what it is it's just like, it's a botanical liqueur. And there's this thing, and I don't know if it's historians who do it or marketers at the time where they're like, oh, it's medicine.
Yeah.
That happens like every time you're researching the origin of a booze. They were like, well, it was medicine.
It's medicinal. It's fine. Yeah.
I
drink it.
Yeah, exactly. Buy a lot of it because yeah. it's medicine.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that everyone is just lying to themselves and the customers know it's a lie, but yeah. it makes them feel better about buying bottles of booze to be like, it's for my digestion.
Well, when you... Yeah, that's, but it does help with digestion, doesn't
it? I mean, yeah, yeah.
And I think the water back then was so shitty that it was healthier to drink booze than it was. Like, that's why they drank so much beer back then, right?
Yes, actually, there's people think that, so absinthe like became popular in the late 1700s,
okay.
but then it sort of became the thing that French people drank in the 1880s, 1870s.
Oh, okay.
There was a grape blight across France. Yes. And people had been drinking wine with water because the water was so diseased.
Oh my
like
God.
You said. But then when the grape blight made wine wildly expensive for about 10 years, uh-huh. everyone switched over to mixing water with absinthe.
Wow.
Yes.
That doesn't seem like a one-for-one trade-off.
No. No.
Those are not like, well, I can't get any wine, so I'll have fucking absinthe.
Yeah. So, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, absinthe has like 2 to 3 times as much alcohol as like the equivalent amount of, say, whiskey.
Oh, it's okay.
Extremely alcoholic. So if you hear about the Green Fairy, if you've watched, what's the movie?
Oh,
Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah. Steven. it's,
with Nicole Kidman.
Moulin Rouge.
How could we not think of that?
I don't know. So I was like, weird. Chicago. No, it's... Not Chicago.
Yeah, thank you, Steven. Moulin Rouge, they have that whole segment about the Green Fairy that
yeah.
Kylie Minogue plays. Because that was a thing. It was like, they called it the Green Fairy because you would get so
Was it just,
up.
Okay, because I always thought that it was because there was some like hallucinogenic property in it. But no, it's just people are fucking shit-faced.
I really do think it's that. But I also think that two things. One, manufacturing standards weren't really a thing.
Oh.
So they could put whatever poisons into whatever
Fun.
Random bottle you might be buying. Plus, a key ingredient in it is wormwood.
Oh, yeah.
Which I believe does have hallucinogenic properties.
That's so funny. But yes, that would make total sense.
Yeah.
It does because... Yes, because there's a really good documentary on Netflix called Wormwood about LSD trials in the government in the 50s. So Wormwood would make sense.
I'm going to have to watch that.
So fucking good.
I was microdosing for a little
yeah.
while. Not with LSD because I couldn't find it.
Yeah. And
also,
you also don't know what's... I wouldn't do
it. It's
LSD.
Scarier
yeah,
yeah. for sure. And I found that all the people I know who were like, I can get you LSD, they actually couldn't because no one's as cool as they think they are.
So you were using mushrooms.
Mushrooms, yeah.
I'm so fascinated by that.
It was a guy I know. He showed me how he was growing it in his
yeah.
walk-in closet the whole
really?
Deal.
Really? Give us his address.
I know. Let me say his name publicly. Yeah. Y'all listening?
Yeah.
I was doing it for a while as an anti
antidepressant. Was it working for that?
It worked a little bit for a little while. I've heard that if you do a huge trip one day, it can like over the course of a day, it can actually like reconfigure your entire brain.
Fuck.
They're doing studies of it at NYU with this is sad. They're doing it with terminally ill people.
Wow.
And it's people who are really scared about how they're going to die.
So they come to terms with it.
Yes. Over the course, like one guy talked about how like a black cloud came out of his body and he watched it and it was fear of dying and he said goodbye to it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I fucking believe it.
Man. I know.
Like
totally. I completely believe in it. I don't know if microdosing works. Slash, I got angry because I realized that it was a big part of the reason why it's becoming a talked about thing again is tech bros, how they ruin everything beautiful.
Yeah.
And they're doing it in the same way as they're taking Adderall when they don't have a prescription for it. It's actually to work more.
Oh.
And I'm like, I don't want to buy into this.
Yeah, you want a feeling of peace and happiness, I have to say that, I mean, microdosing is really, I find it really interesting. I haven't done it, obviously, but I do think that like that shouldn't be your first line of defense with depression. Like that to me is something for people who have fucking tried everything and gotten to a place where they can't handle it. And
I think I'm the exact opposite.
I think you were doing whatever you fucking. I think personally, knowing you, and I don't. We have known each other for a long time. Everyone should know that you just do not want to go to fucking therapy, and you will do whatever it fucking takes, including small doses of mushrooms. To not have to go to a therapist.
I can't talk to a person about my feelings.
I'd rather talk to drugs.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for roasting me.
We don't have to make this about you.
You're totally right. anyway, so Wormwood.
Right, Wormwood.
I do think that probably in your average bottle of absinthe, there wasn't like enough to actually make you crazy.
But just enough to make you want to keep drinking it.
Yeah. Or placebo effects are a powerful thing.
Absolutely.
So it was marketed as like a tonic to be taken daily.
Just of course.
Sort of like a little health thing. Yeah, take it every day.
Which I kind of, I mean, I get. It's nice having a little sip at the end of the day after a meal.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it tastes like shit.
It is disgusting.
It's fucking disgusting.
So actually, but he said that this guy, Pierre Ordinaire, was like, take it a couple hours before dinner.
Hmm. Okay.
And it was called l'heure verte, which means the green hour.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, as like the happy hour.
Yes. Yeah. So it wasn't like a getting drunk hour. It was a take a little time for yourself. It was what we would now call self-care.
I love it.
Yeah. And, you know, what happens with French things, especially in fashion and also in food, is that the rest of the world really pays attention. And they're like, oh, French people are doing it. It's classy.
Yeah.
So the green hour became a thing that was done in the rest of Europe and in New Orleans for a while.
Yeah.
It had a moment as the thing that people did and talked about.
Nice.
Now happy hour is like...
You just think of sports bars, don't you?
Well, yeah. So if you Google happy hour, you know that people also ask section that comes up before the results?
Yeah.
It's when is Starbucks happy hour? When is Applebee's happy hour? Steak and Shake happy hour?
What?
Does Taco Bell have happy hour?
What?
Like those were the top four people always ask when I Googled happy hour.
No, happy hour is not for fast food.
Well, apparently it is.
Oh my God.
I know. I think that's so weird. The couple of them, I was like, okay, Applebee's and Steak and Shake are sitting down restaurants.
Steak and Shake's not.
It isn't?
No, it's a fast food joint.
See, this is how I knew that it wasn't one of those things that Google was just responding to my queries.
Because
like, I don't think I've ever Googled Steak and Shake. I have no
reference
to that.
No, it's just like, what's that burger place that was in New York that's here now?
Shake Shack.
It's like Shake Shack.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's kind of like a little nicer burger shakes place.
Oh, okay. I get it. Taco Bell, I still don't.
Taco Bell is Taco Bell. And
wait a minute. Taco Bell has those cantinas now. They've got like at least one in Las Vegas where they have a full bar.
Really?
Yeah. Taco Bell with a full bar, which...
Listen, I'm not going to fucking talk shit on that Mexican pizza. Like, look, I've been eating that since I was a kid and it's one of the best things.
Really?
I'm so glad there's not a Taco Bell nearby because I would be...
Yeah.
It'd be problematic.
Do you like Del Taco?
I'm fine with Del Taco's fine.
But it's not like a craving
thing. No. And yeah, luckily, because it's across the street.
I know.
But we eat it a lot. We definitely go there a lot. It's fine.
Oh my gosh. Steven just showed me a headline. First Taco Bell in Southern California to serve beer is opening in Newport Beach.
Shit.
There we go.
Newport.
I do think the Vegas one has tequila. I think it's Vegas.
You're not allowed to have any food without alcohol.
Why would you bother?
Right.
Yeah. I was interested in the Starbucks happy hour question.
Yeah, what's that?
There was a while when Starbucks was starting these like other shops that had beer and wine.
Yeah,
they started in Seattle. I don't know if those still exist, but Starbucks has a thing they call happy hour, which is half off frappuccinos between 3 and 5 p.m.
Great.
Which I was like, oh, that's for children to come get their milkshakes.
It's totally for high schoolers.
Yeah, yeah.
It's for you to go get fucking wired so you can't sleep at night mm-hmm. and get 900 calories in your face.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, Jesus.
It's a trick.
It's a fucking trick. But the fuck, it goes all the way to the top. Yeah.
Exactly. I do think Starbucks is in part of the Illuminati.
I could totally see that. I heard recently that there's coffee shops that are owned by Starbucks, but you don't know.
Yes.
And now every time I go into any coffee shop, I'm like, is this fucking Starbucks?
I know. I think they own like smaller chains
yeah.
and let them keep the name, but I wonder if they open quote unquote or own quote unquote independence as well. It would be such good market research.
Well, what about the chain, like Blue Bottle? Do we think that that's owned by Starbucks?
It is, isn't it?
Is it a, I could, it's like, or not, that's
like
not a secret.
Pete's or something
yeah.
like that. I have a feeling they're all owned by each other. You know, there's
yeah.
only like four companies
totally.
Left in the world.
They're part of the fucking Illuminati.
Yes.
And we're all going to hell.
All that's, it's our mind control drugs are in the food
Wormwood.
And drinks that we consume.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like Wormwood.
Yeah. It's, oh man, it's all a trick. So the term itself, happy hour, mm-hmm. may have been popularized by the U.S. Navy. Okay, so in English, I mean, it makes a lot of sense because yeah. the Navy is associated
oh, sure.
with rum. I don't know if they like that association, but I guess the Navy is like the branch of the Army that parties, right?
I think they're the part. They drink for sure.
Like Fleet Week.
Yeah. They're like, get you. The minute you step off a boat, you have to start drinking.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
If they have to wear those outfits, they have to fucking
yeah,
stay pretty shit-faced.
I know. You have to really be in a place where you're like, this is okay that I'm wearing these white bell bottoms.
This fucking hat, man. Look, I look like a child.
Okay. The term, like, or I don't know, the two words together, happy and hour, has mm-hmm. like always in English been a poetic way of saying, like alluding to good times or saying good times. Mm-hmm. Like you'll see it in Shakespeare, but also mm. all kinds of other old writing where things like we spent a happy hour.
Okay.
Like that kind of phrasing.
So not referring to
booze in
what
particular.
I like, right.
Yeah. Just like good time.
A happy hour. Okay.
Of any sort. There was a boat called maybe it still exists, the USS Arkansas. Steven's having a good time.
Steven is cracking up at our disknowledge of fucking the Navy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So it like had a happy hour, but they were the ones who started it and then like other boats in the Navy started it too. It didn't have anything to do with alcohol. I think officially maybe, I don't understand military rules.
Was it nap time? Is it basically nap time?
That's hilarious. And I would have liked that.
Hell yeah.
It had been, so the phrase happy hour social was something that on land in America, a lot of women's clubs had.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Like you're in your women's clubs and the happy hour social would be a time when you get together and maybe drink tea or like have your book club meeting. Or
you know, they all spiked their fucking tea with whiskey.
The fun ones did.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Knitting clubs, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's funny because it's this sort of ladylike thing. But then once it got onto the Navy boats, it was like you would have an hour off. Everyone would.
Huh.
And you would come together and you would sing songs.
Oy.
And you would have boxing matches, which does not sound relaxing to me. But I am not in the Navy.
Oh, my God. Men and their fucking masculinity. They can't just sing a fucking song. They also have to punch each
yeah,
other.
Yeah, well, because you have to like even it out.
Right. You're
right?
singing a song. So.
Yeah. So now we're going to punch. They would do things like they would do plays.
Okay.
Also, entertainments.
Okay.
Mostly. And then it was kind of funny because then they like afterwards. Actually, let me just read you like a contemporary accounting of a happy hour. Next comes the popular happy hour programs, which each ship stages once a week. These happy hour programs are what is known to civilian life as a smoker or a stag. That's funny because like parties where you get together, yeah, stag parties, yeah, we now use that to mean bachelor parties,
right,
too. A smoker, that clearly has gone by the wayside.
No idea what that is.
Yeah. They're held on the quarter deck. The music is furnished by the band, better known to the sailor as the ship's boilermakers. I guess that's what they called bands. In the early evening, the spacious deck is a modern day dancing academy, but which later proves to be the arena, while the big gun turrets serve as grandstands.
So like I'm lost.
The performers would get on the gun turrets,
okay,
and perform from there.
They all sound drunk to me.
It already sounds drunk, yeah, right? Yeah, absolutely.
They're trying to tell us there's not alcohol involved, but come on, man, you're climbing up shit. And you're fucking
just dancing and hitting people.
Yeah.
Several very good boxing exhibitions are put on, and sometimes a champion match, at which time a grudge is settled.
Oh, that's cool.
Cigars, cigarettes, and programs are distributed, and after the bouts, maybe one will find ice cream and cakes.
Oh my God. It just keeps going from manly to children. I know. Plays and cake and then punching and yeah, cigars.
And the evening winds up with movies.
Oh.
And this is only in like the 19 teens, so it was like the very short movies that yeah, they were starting to have. Okay. But they brought those on board for right, the evening's entertainment. And if there were visiting dignitaries or whatever on board, they would do these happy hours to be like, see, it's not all business. Yeah. We're going to show you a movie and have a fight and then give you cake.
We're happy to be here, even though we might die.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it was during World War One that these things became popular. Yeah. Like they'd started a couple years before. Oy. But it's just like USO shows. Everyone's got to have a break.
Sure.
Yeah. I would imagine. I would never join the military.
I mean, no. But I'm all for everyone else doing it.
Oh, I'm just saying I'm too
No,
weak.
I know. Me too. Me too. My brother did it for our family, so I don't have to do it.
Oh, you're off the hook.
Yeah.
That's really how it works, great. Right? My grandpa did it, so yeah, that's good enough.
Yeah, my dad was right there. Yeah.
My grandpa, he was such a liar. He thought it was so funny. So the veins in his wrists were really pronounced. Uh-huh. And on one wrist, it was two veins in a straight line, uh-huh, like 11s.
Yeah.
And then on the other wrist, it was one straight line. And then one that straight up was like the line went down. It moved into a C and then continued down in a straight line.
Creepy.
And he told all us 14 grandkids that it was where a bullet had went and gone in his wrist. And we all believed him.
And so his vein had gone around it?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, oh man, lying to your grandkids is like one of life's pleasures.
It
like,
certainly
I
seems
bet,
like it.
Right?
Yeah.
Lying
yeah,
to children.
Because they're so stupid.
They're so stupid. They'll believe anything.
They really will. Children are idiots.
That's why I only have cats and nephews.
Yeah. I did a little FaceTime call in with a third grade class in Missouri.
Oh.
And they asked me questions about writing about food.
Oh, that's cool.
It was the most adorable thing.
Missouri kids.
Yeah.
Do they have accents?
Not so much that I could tell. I will say one thing. Their teacher told me that like the fact that I lived in Los Angeles,
oh my God,
was like just amazing.
Amazing to them.
Los Angeles, California.
Oh my God, I bet.
Yeah. And I realized afterwards that, you know, they came up to the computer and asked me questions off their little pieces of paper. Oh. It was so adorable. And I realized that I haven't seen a child in like 10 years. So afterwards, I emailed the teacher and I was like, I hope that's okay. I realized I was talking to them like they were adults.
That's what... When you talk to kids like they're adults, they like you.
Yeah. She said that like that was exciting for yeah, the children, that I was using like big words.
You're
and
taking
assuming...
them seriously.
Yes.
That's how
yes,
I, that's how, like if you, when I meet a kid and like I'll shake their hand. Nice to meet you.
Yes.
Like don't treat them like they're stupid idiots.
I love, even though they are.
Even though they are. They're not. Pretend. They're actually the smartest people in the world, but they're stupid, you know,
yeah,
but they also believe you when you tell them that when they sneeze, their hair turns blue. Which is
that
what
one you've done?
I did that to my nephew. Yeah,
that's amazing.
He asked me why my hair was pink because I dyed my hair pink, and I said mm-hmm, I sneezed so hard my hair turned pink. And then I said, if you when you sneeze your hair turns blue and you just can't see it because
that's so great.
Just kept trying to look at his hair. So cute.
That's really funny. I love that. Oh, little idiot children.
Oh, I love them.
Little dumb babies.
I love
They're
them,
our future.
They are.
Oh goodness. So. Pre-dinner mm-hmm, happy hours, uh-huh, specifically. Not so much the term, but the tradition really happened during Prohibition.
Of course.
Because I think, as we all know, Prohibition didn't stop anyone from drinking.
I think people drank more.
Right?
As a fuck you.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Also, like, it's like if you think you're not going to get alcohol again for a long time,
right,
you're like, better drink it all. Well,
yeah,
I
yeah,
got it. But it never went away, so they always had
right,
it.
Right. And it also made it, like, like kind of illicit and like
so sexy,
sexy and cool and like, yeah, like a secret.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So because it was hard to buy like entire bottles of, yeah, alcohol, people would go out to speakeasies. Of course, everyone knew where the speakeasies were. Mm-hmm. And because it became like an evening out, it was like you would go out to a speakeasy for a drink before dinner.
Okay.
Whether you were eating, going back home to eat dinner or going to a restaurant which could no longer serve you alcohol, right, with your meal. So you had to go have a little tipple before, yeah, dinner or before the dancing or the movie or whatever.
A pre-dinner drink.
Exactly.
Which I think is so classy. I wish I could drink enough to be able to deal with that.
My grandparents, not the one with the fake bullet story, the other side of my family, my grandpa has always worked for in marketing, not always, but for most of his, mm-hmm, career, he worked in marketing for alcohol companies, mostly Brown-Forman, which owns Jack Daniels. So he was always like, when he went to Europe, he would always meet with, like, even if it wasn't a Brown-Forman booze, yeah, other booze makers, fun, or whatever.
Which we know that they fucking, as two people who worked in that industry know, they're the most fun and have the most money.
Yes.
Take you to the nicest fucking shit. Yeah. And like, oh, they're, man, get in good with an alcohol company.
I know, they'll just give you whatever. They're so generous.
They flew me to fucking London.
Which, and didn't they also give you like an extremely expensive leather handbag?
That's
on that
not
trip?
Even half of it. they flew me to fucking Beefeater Gin. Yeah. I love you for the rest of my life. They flew me to fucking London, first class Virgin.
Oh my god.
Which I've had never flown first class. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was the most mind-blowing thing.
Yeah.
Nicest hotels and just kept feeding you gin and good food.
I mean, why not?
Yeah, it was incredible.
That does sound
incredible.
That
was years ago, and it's still like one of the best things, yeah, that's ever happened to me.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. So those grandparents, they do, yeah, have a cocktail before dinner every, yeah, night, and they have since their 20s. They're, sure, in their 80s now. It's
they
just
still
what
do?
You do.
What, yeah, do they drink? What's their thing?
They do Scotch Old Fashions.
Nice.
Which I realized, because I hadn't had an old fashioned in a bar ever, the first time I had them,
okay,
was at my grandparents. And I realized that my grandparents make them so much sweeter,
oh,
than at bars, oh, for my grandma. Like, aww, they add club soda to it, which, okay, I didn't know wasn't the traditional part.
Right.
And they also add some of the cherry juice with,
really,
the cherry. Yeah. So it is the way they do it.
So it's not super alcoholic-y. Like,
well,
but they put a lot.
Sometimes I wonder.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, they add a little more cherry juice in the club soda, but first of all, it's also scotch.
Yeah.
Which can be a little rough for a lot of people.
Sure, I love scotch.
And then I do think that pours were maybe used to be a lot heavier. Drinks, cocktails weren't always as sweet as they are now.
Yeah, I can't drink cocktails at bars anymore.
Because they're so sweet?
They're so fucking sweet to me.
Interesting.
I just can't deal. Like, I look at a bar, I look at a cocktail menu and I want to try them. They sound so good, but there's like two, like a simple syrup and a liqueur and a fucking this and that. Mm-hmm. And it's just so sweet. It makes me want to barf.
Yeah. I wonder why that is, why they do that.
Because most people don't want to taste the alcohol.
I guess so.
Right?
Most
people are pussies, is what,
yes,
I'm saying.
Slash, like, the sweeter the drink, the more people are going to order because they don't realize,
right,
that they're getting so drunk.
And you drink it quicker because, yep, it's easier to get down. You don't sip.
Yeah.
That's why I just get whiskey now. It takes me so much longer to drink that.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Or I'll get, like, whiskey with a couple dashes of bitters.
I'm still not sure how I feel about bitters.
Really?
Yeah. But I have a very delicate palate.
Oh. Well, I don't. I'm like, fucking put it in this mouth, this trash can I call a mouth.
Amazing. No, it's not a good thing. I still really can't eat spicy food. Like, everything is just so...
Oh, maybe you're a super taster?
I don't know if I'm a super taster clinically.
You have to do that test on,
I know,
the show.
I know. There's something, like, super tasters, I think, like, also get, like, headachy a lot easier. Huh. Although, on the other hand, if people wear perfume around me, I'm like, you're my enemy
me
forever.
Too.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm a super taster, but I definitely can. My sense of smell is like on fucking point, mm-hmm, and heightened and like crazy.
Yeah. Which is really more of a curse than a blessing.
Yeah. But I also like get obsessed with smells. I don't know. Yeah.
Good ones or bad ones?
I don't know. Bad ones and good,
oh,
ones.
No.
Yeah, I guess I smell people a lot. It's, oh, it's a lot.
I just got super self-conscious.
No, you're fine.
I'm wearing wool and I have a dog.
No.
Bye.
You're good. And you're good. So,
oh,
now you know.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Perfect. I feel a lot better. But the term happy hour. So during Prohibition, they still weren't calling it happy hour. Uh-huh. It was just like going out to get a drink, a pre-dinner drink. The Saturday Evening Post at some point in the 1950s did some sort of profile on Navy men back on land and like it was just sort of like a slice of life feature.
Yeah.
And they talked about, they called it happy hour.
Oh.
Like pre-dinner drink that they have is happy hour.
Okay.
And that is often pointed to as like the first, as what popularized it.
Wow.
In the American vernacular. I couldn't find any evidence to the contrary. So sure, Saturday Evening Post.
And then and everyone in the fucking world or in the country reads that.
Yes.
So they start using it too.
Back in the day when everyone read the same publications.
Yeah. Got their news from like the radio and the magazines, and that's it.
And that's it. So everyone knew it.
Yeah.
And as we alluded to earlier, like happy hours now usually have some sort of deal discount attached to them.
Yeah.
That's not legal everywhere.
Shut up.
Yeah. There are some states that have specific rules about like how much of a discount.
And you can't do ladies' nights.
You can't do ladies' nights because of gender equality.
That's so funny to me.
I know, it's hilarious. Like the men who have actually brought that to court, like, you need to get a life.
Did they? Have they?
Yeah, because the only reason these things people will get like caught and have to stop is if someone brings it to court.
Fucking dicks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the point is to get more women into the bar so they can like, so it's not just a bunch of fucking masculine assholes hanging out.
MRAs own themselves constantly.
What's that?
Men's rights activists.
Oh, God.
Because they don't understand. Yeah. All they hear is that women get a discount and they flip out not understanding that it's
the
what
point
brings
is
the women in.
To get them so they'll maybe have sex with you, you disgusting pig.
I know, exactly.
Oh, my God.
They're just playing themselves over and over again.
Good.
And that's just in the U.S. In Ireland, the entire concept of a happy hour is illegal. Top to bottom, can't do it.
So you can't give discounts?
Nope. No.
Why?
Discounts on alcohol. Well, if you think about
alcohol.
Ireland.
Okay. Oh, shit. They're like, we don't need extra money for drinking.
Yeah. I mean, and I do think it's one of those things that's like, they know what their reputation is, so they're embarrassed.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that Ireland is actually drunker than any other country.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
I would figure they like their beer more than here, but
they love
Wisco.
They love Wisco dancing.
I think you just created a new trend.
I hope so.
Whiskey disco night.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I love it.
Whiskey. I forgot about that part.
Yeah. But, you know.
Who isn't? We are too.
Everyone loves everything fun.
Everyone calm down. Like, just have a good time.
Yeah.
But I could see, like, for tax purposes, liquor not being, you can't give it a discount for whatever the fuck tax reasons, you know. Let's say they're I would think that those would be tied together somehow in a way that's as far as my guessing goes.
Well, I could see how like Utah, for instance, where alcohol is so expensive, they can't afford to give you a happy hour deal.
Did you know that when we went there, we had two live shows there recently, and Vince found out that you can't have on tap any beer over 3% alcohol, which is like, well, what is that? That's water. I don't know what you're, that's like kombucha.
Yes. And Utah's alcohol laws have gotten so much more liberal in the past few years.
Have they? I couldn't order a fucking glass of wine from my room service.
Really?
You have to order a bottle. Which is almost like making me drink more.
I know. That's like the opposite
But I didn't drink. I didn't order one. So I guess they were. It worked.
I guess. It used to be that, I mean, they have bars in Utah, but they couldn't serve you the alcohol over the bar.
Really?
Like they all had servers. They had the bartenders, but also the servers, because the bartender would hand the server the drink, who would walk around to the end of the bar.
Why?
And then come back to you.
Who cares? Sorry, I'm mad.
Mormons. I don't like, I think it's a silly rule. Also, even more intense than that, like every place in Utah that served hard alcohol had to be a club.
Huh.
So you would walk into the bar and you'd have to like fill out a form.
Really?
That you'd sign and be like, I belong to this club now.
Oh, a club. I thought you meant like, I was thinking of like, it's like a club. Club? I see what you're saying.
A social club.
A social club.
Yes.
Not a disco whiskey. A disco whisco club.
Yeah.
And actually I like this, is that any bar that serves alcohol has to serve food.
That's the law in Oregon, right? And that's why Portland's bars have such good food.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I like that too.
I do. I just hate, listen, I love snacks and eating so much that like, even if I've already had dinner, like maybe you want to try their fucking whatever the fuck here.
Yeah.
But going to a bar that's just like, nope, just drink, is kind of a bummer.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Sorry. Go on.
No, I mean, that's it. That's why people like happy hours, drinking and eating together.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Elvis, that's so cute. He's just, what is that? Making biscuits? Is that what that's called?
Yeah, well, he just stretched out on me.
But he like did a little paw thing.
He did make biscuits on me. He's being very affectionate right now, and I think it's because he's hungry, but...
That's when I get affectionate too.
Yeah.
I get it, Elvis.
yeah, I love it. Happy hour.
That's what it is, and it's one of America's... Well, I guess we can't say we invented it exactly, but we certainly really defined it.
Yeah.
And made it
What's
popular.
Your favorite happy hours in this city? Or at least on our side of town.
What is... I mean, I know we already mentioned Tam O'Shanter, but...
They don't have a great little happy hour. What was it, like half off all appetizers?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think I just like the food that they have. I like those bacon-wrapped dates.
Yeah. Oh, they're... and they're... horseradish deviled eggs.
Yes, those are so good. And the thing that they do where they serve the guacamole and they call it smashed avocado and they serve it with potato chips.
Homemade potato chips.
So I have some extremely conflicting opinions about that.
That they won't call it guacamole?
Yes. I'm like, I think you guys are being racist. However.
I get it. No, I support that. Cultural appropriation.
Exactly. But potato chips?
Yes. Yeah.
Are awesome.
Who fucking yeah. And they're like thick and yeah. like warm and
so they
so
do
salty.
Good potato chips. And so I kind of feel like they're celebrating my Irish heritage and the fact that I'm super into Mexican
and
food.
That you're racist.
Yeah, and that I'm racist. It's everything about me in one dish.
Absolutely. I love it. Well, if like they called margaritas like tequila lime things, then we'd have a problem.
Yeah.
But they don't.
Okay, do they even have them anything approaching that on the menu?
No, I think you can order one probably.
Right. They'll understand.
Yeah. The Irish bartender
but
will.
But Tam O'Shanter is hilarious because, you know, it's a Scottish restaurant. Like, let's all be clear on that because it is. But also this area, a lot of the first Europeans who moved into like the Silver Lake area were Scottish.
Really?
And you'll see it reflected in a lot of the street names.
Oh, I didn't know that. Like what?
Rowena.
Oh, really,
for instance. Yeah. And then there's a lot like in the Silver Lake Highlands that are just all these like
wow.
weird Scottish names. And
that makes sense.
Yeah. However, Tam O'Shanter is not above participating in St. Patrick's Day, which Irish.
That's like.
But they know no one knows the difference. So they are down to make a lot of money on St. Patrick's
That's
Day.
That's so funny. I didn't know that they were Scottish. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Tam is like whatever the Scottish language word is for hat.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm so, there with you.
So.
Fuck it.
Racism, as long as it's delicious, we don't really care.
It's cultural. They're culturally appropriating the Irish culture.
And Mexican.
And taking Mexicans.
So everyone's equally insulted.
Yep.
That means it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. If you fucking piss everyone off,
yeah.
then you're being fair.
It's fine. It all evens out.
Exactly.
Yes. And now I'm very hungry specifically for deviled eggs.
Oh, God. Yes. Deviled eggs all the time, please.
Yeah. All right. I think we figured out happy hour.
I love it. That was so fun.
Georgia, thank you so much for joining us. What's the Instagram account that everyone should follow?
Well, I'm at Hardstark and the cats are at Elvis and Mimi and Dot.
And they're adorable kitties.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course.
Bye.
Takeoff, to catching, landing. Sorry about the centerpiece. Thanks for understanding. Saw salesman, hard branding, Campari commissions. I was sitting in the kitchen trying to guess where she was living now. Hotel room.